Okay, great. As I had mentioned, try not to do hold or speaker phones if you can. We do these sessions every 2 weeks. We've got some new people on the call. You're going to get post-session notes. If you don't get post-session notes for any reason, you're not on our PLC list. So if you would just email me your contact information, that's msenew@aol.com, msenew@aol.com. We meet every 2 weeks, same place, same time, same phone number. So if for some reason you don't get post-session notes in the next couple of days, just come on next week, and we'll go from there. We've been doing this since the beginning of Brownfields. We don't speak for EPA, but we have these informal discussions. We're very familiar with the programs and followed them since the beginning of them. So we're quite familiar with what goes on, and we can make some observations that aren't EPA's observations, but they're ours. They're independent, and they're just ours. So nothing is policy, but it often is helpful to find out what other people are doing. And this cycle, we've been talking to different grantees about their experiences. Up till now, we've been talking about different ways of organizing. And then when the grants were awarded last week, right after our session, we decided to switch gears a little bit and talk to those who have made it and those who may not have been successful. Let's start off with news from Washington. Glo, is there anything you want to announce from either Washington or HMTRI?
Well, I wasn't able to reach my contact. I think that she is maybe possibly on vacation this week, but I just wanted to say congratulations to all the new awardees. And to those of you who were not awarded this year, please schedule a debrief with your regional coordinator so that you can find the areas of your proposal that were lacking, and then you can address those when you submit next year's proposal. Do not give up. This is a great program. Do not give up. And along with these PLC calls, I also wanted to make mention of our annual all-grantee meeting, which is coming up in August. It's August 17th and 18th. This is a gathering of all the EPA-funded grantees plus prospective grantees. So anyone who is an active PLC member was welcome to attend this meeting. Through a cooperative agreement that we have with EPA, we are able to pay for 3 nights lodging. The transportation is up to the participant. But this would be an excellent place for people to come and learn from the grantees that are actually doing the job. It would just no better place to learn about this type of thing. I also wanted to mention again, and I know I mentioned this before, but we're still in the process of switching our listserv to a new software. So just in case you get a notification from Google saying that you have been moved into this listserv and I can't remember everything else it says, there isn't anything that you need to do. There's no action that's required. We're just moving the listserv that we have into a different software. So hopefully that process will be done soon. And then last thing I wanted to remind everybody too is that the post-session notes that Mike mentioned about these PLC sessions, we also upload those to our Brownfields Toolbox website. The web address is brownfields-toolbox.org. And on the homepage, there's a tab that says PLC Corner. And that's where all the post-session notes are stored along with the audio files. That's it for me, Mike.
Great. We maintain two lists. One is a PLC list, which is about 350 people, but then GLO has a much larger list of 1,000 or so of people. So the PLC announcements just go out to the PLC members, but you'll probably get multiple invites to the sessions, so everyone gets those. So that's a little explanation of why you're getting all those emails from us. There were about 50 applications this year. Of the 18 out of 50 made it. Traditionally, there's no set rule, but we generally observe that about half are re-ups, I call them. These are grantees who have shown an exemplary performance and have demonstrated they're doing very well, and more importantly, they have an excellent grant proposal. There's no guarantee that when a grant is over that you're going to get re-upped, so you have to recompete every year, every 2 years or so. Sometimes there's gaps. We also very much encourage people, if they're not funded, to reapply. The next RFP will probably go out in November or so. So we're 6 months away from time to, it'll be announced in November, all likelihood, and due in January or February. And usually that's over Christmas and New Year's holiday. So you really get pinched, particularly if you're forming partners, working with City Hall, trying to establish things. Pretty much December is a dead month, so you really have to get your act together. For those who made it, it's a congratulations. There are going to be things you'll be needing to do, primarily contacting your regional coordinator. They may contact you, but you want to touch base with them. And there's some things you have to do before the check's in the mail. There's make sure that you go through the SAMS training. That's that administrative system of administrative management. You have to get that out of the way and certified. And more importantly, I think, is the work plan, because you have to get your work plan approved by your regional administrator, our coordinator, and that's going to set your exact tone for the year. These grants are funny, they're different than many other grants, in that you almost have the whole thing laid out before you even start. So it's a strange kind of a grant from other grants. But you may, between January, when you wrote your grant, November, December, January, and now, and maybe coming to PLCs or talking to other people, there may be have some changes in the way you want to approach this. You may have picked up some new partners. You may fine-tune your curriculum. You may found that there's actually more of a need in one area than another, and this is the time to fine-tune your work plan and get that approved with your regional coordinator, because when you try to change it later, you're going to need approval from the regional coordinator. So this is a great time to start working with them. Of course, all the money has to go out the door from EPA by the end of September. Their fiscal year in the federal government is September. So this all has to be done before September. So you've got plenty of time. And you also have a look-back period of 90 days. So you could start spending money 90 days, 3 months before the final approval. So you actually, you're clear now. If you start working with your regional coordinator now, you'll have plenty of time, and you could start coming to our annual meeting, signing up for that Glo talked about, and the details will be in the notes. But this is a good time to do that. So about, as I said, about one-third of the submitted applications were funded. About half of those were re-ups, people. And there's a certain disadvantage that someone who's been doing this, as Peter, who's going to talk to us in a minute, they have everything down, partnerships down. It's tough for a new group, but they do reserve, make sure that there's plenty of room for new grantees. And this time, about 8 or 9 new and about 8 or 9 old. So it's a nice balance. And I was really proud of EPA this year. I think the re-ups that they did were all outstanding programs. And today we're going to talk about what I feel is one of the most outstanding programs. They originally submitted their first grant in 2000. This was City of Tacoma, and then they took a rest, and then they came back in 2006, and this is when they really blossomed. They formed their partnerships, and they were ticking off grants. They would recompete every couple of years, every 2 years. They got a grant in 2008. They got a stimulus grant. This is when the government was trying to get the economy going, and they got a nice stimulus grant, and then another one, 11, 13, and then they were re-upped this year. I think that looks like there may, and Peter could talk about this, I think there was 1 year that maybe they missed the cut, but they still made it back this year, so it's great. And this is, Tacoma is one of those grantees, in my opinion, that does everything right. They're They're working with the city. They're working with the community college. They're working with the WIB very closely. This year I noticed they're also working with organized labor. So I think with that, I'm going to introduce Peter. And why don't you tell us about your program and what you did and what happened to you between 13 and 16, and we'll go from there.
All right. Well, good morning or good afternoon from wherever you're calling from. Mike so eloquently described, yes, we've been doing this since 2000. My name is Peter Guzman, and I work for the city of Tacoma. So, we have local government at the helm, which I think is a little unique for some of these partnerships. Our approach to job development since the inception, and has been refined a little bit, as Mike indicated, really strive to have those partners at the table that could really provide us with the best components that would make this an effective job training program that leads to employment. So we originally had, obviously, City of Tacoma was the project manager, fiscal lead, and then our partnerships were, and they still are, one of them is Clover Park Technical College, and I'll get back to them in a second here. We also had Metropolitan Development Council, which is a community-based organization that did the outreach recruitment and the case management, which is very important. And then we had one of the local WIBs, as we call them here, Workforce Development Councils in Washington State, which is Workforce Central in Pierce County, Washington. Very effective partnership, have always exceeded our outcomes in terms of placements, have historically achieved around a 70-72% placement of graduates in environmental occupations, and also, keeping within the national average of about, $14.50 to $15 an hour. What we've done, and you really have to evolve. I mean, this is our seventh award, which we're very thankful to EPA, we received, this is now, the seventh award, $1.7 million, and have trained, completed 785, and we have about 560 that have been placed for a placement rate of about 71%. Now, obviously, we're doing something well that has convinced the EPA to continue to fund our program. What we did a little differently here this go-around, and I'll explain why we did it, for a couple of reasons. One is, those of you that are familiar with the Workforce Investment Act, and now it's WIOA, Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, there were some changes with that legislation that prevented our local provider from entering into direct services. They chose not to do direct services anymore, so they're more of a passive organization. But we continue to be a partner with them because this grant is all about leveraging and partnerships. So we didn't have the local WIB board as a partner in terms of those that we contract with. They're still a partner in terms of the public workforce system. And secondly, Metropolitan Development Council that had been with us since day one, they provided, like I stated, our, case management, outreach, recruitment. They also went in a different direction. So I was left to seek out new partnerships, which, if you've been doing this as long as we have here at the City of Tacoma, there were a lot that I could choose from. And one of the new partners that we have at the table is our goodwill of the Olympics in Rainier Regions. I think all of our communities have goodwill industries. It isn't just about thrift stores and training people with disabilities. It's about much more than that, at least here in Washington State, where they actively are doing other job training and bring to the table a wealth of other services that go from leverage skills training and whatnot, case management. So that was one partner. And then the other partner that we also brought in to the table is the Pierce County Health Department. They are also actively involved in public health and especially, you know, environmental justice issues. They conducted a survey here last year where they found that, you know, one of the contributors to someone's, you know, personal public health is your environment and, you know, what we do in terms of where, you know, depending on economic status, where you live. And one of the contributors to get you out of poverty or that environmental degradation you're in is job training. So they partnered with us and bring some case managers to the table. And lastly, we still have our great community and technical college as a partner, Clover Park Technical College, that we partnered with them initially mainly because they already had a two-year degree in environmental studies program, associate's degree program. And over the years, you know, they also had a residential component and a green side of the house. They have now merged those two programs because of the success of the brownfield side of the house, where they now have a sustainability building program and have incorporated and embraced our brownfields job training component, where it's part of their career pathway selection of anybody entering the community technical college that, you know, either wants to take advantage of short-term training, like in our environmental workforce development job training model, which I'll get into here a little later in terms of what that consists of, or continue your education at the community technical college where you can get an associate's degree. And many of our graduates tend to be their best students, have transferred to a four-year institution and received, you know, advanced bachelor's in environmental science. So, you know, all this with still placing, you know, 71% in jobs, I think that makes for a great partnership. Additionally, let me get into the components of our job training program as we have it presented to EPA. Over the next, it's a three-year grant, but you really have 2 years to deliver your training components, you know, startup, outreach, and then they give you a year post to meet your deliverables, especially with job placement. So for those new grantees, know that you have 3 years to meet your deliverables. And obviously there are a lot of grantees that have history, like the City of Tacoma, Cypress Mandela in Oakland, LA Conservation Corp, and others that I'm sure have been a part of this PLC community. Our particular model, and it hasn't changed much over the years, other than what we've added in terms of certificated training. So we traditionally have done three cohorts where we will train 54 students and we will train or place at least 39 graduates in environmental jobs. We have always exceeded those numbers. And we always tend to over-enroll. So one thing that we've done that's very effective is to meet those 54 students trained and graduate, you need more than 15 per cohort. So we've always over-enrolled where our community college partner will allow us to have 22 seats available to start the classroom. And with attrition, you don't always get all of them completing for various reasons, life or they just didn't make it in the training. So we tend to graduate on average, you know, 18, 20 per cohort. And that way, you're at least in safe grounds in terms of meeting your job placements numbers. Because of the great leverage that we have, whether it's coming from the City of Tacoma, which we have contributed hundreds of thousands of dollars to add additional cohorts through any particular funding cycle, or we've had other grants where we can leverage, where this last grant that we're just completing here, I think, you know, we had the same delivery model in terms of three cohorts. We ended up delivering, I think, at least six cohorts. And, you know, it's not that difficult to do the math, but you're going to have six cohorts. You are going to hit it out of the park in terms of your numbers. And really, at the end of the day, our businesses are being served by getting great candidates with these certificates, and then our residents that are the ones that are impacted by you know, environmental contamination are the ones that benefit through job training. The certificates that we provide, consist of the following. We have, on average, 200 hours of instruction, which includes 40-hour HAZLOPR, which we all have to have, and the OSHA 10. And then the rest is a mix of whatever you think you need in your particular labor market. So we've gone with, in addition to first aid CPR, we've gone with underground storage tank training, asbestos training, chemical safety awareness, remediation technology, lead abatement, worker training, respiratory protection training, confined space training. We have compiled those certificates based on our employers. One of the things that you have to do in preparing your proposal, which we've done every round, and we haven't always been successful, but we always make sure that we do our homework. We have to research what the labor market in our particular area is providing in terms of jobs. And you have to provide that, or at least we provide those in our proposal. We've always had what's considered an environmental remediation workers. We've included, construction workers, whether it's laborers, operating engineers. In our particular area, I'm just looking at what we looked at here. Bode with me for a second. We indicated that these particular areas were in high demand, which somebody just came on here. Really we put it in the proposal so that we could let EPA know that these are the areas that we're going to be training for, and they are as follows here. Hold on one second. I'm just losing my. Oh, okay, here it is. The in-demand sectors that we looked at are hazardous materials removal worker, insulation workers, refuse and recyclable materials collectors, environmental science and protection technician, helpers, insulation, maintenance, repair workers, and construction. And then what we also did, as I'm sure my fellow grantees have to do, is you have to look at your demographics. What does your community look like in terms of low income, people with felonies? The grant targets residents that have been impacted by environmental contamination, and you're targeting unemployed, underemployed, and you have to be able to match your demographics and your census tract information to mirror the fact that you are targeting these impacted communities for training and job placement. And then you have to have your employer base. As Mike indicated, we've got some employers that we've added additionally at the table, because you have to be able to place these individuals with these employers. We've had them historically, but Northwest Laborers Employers Training Trust Fund, the laborers, depending on the time of year, any of our graduates that have HAZLOPR and asbestos certification, they will pluck them up and put them to work right away. And so they're a great partner for us to get some of these great jobs. We have some great contractors in Northwest Cascade, which is an environmental civil contractor. We also have Dirt Tech, which is another environmental small business contractor. And then, as I mentioned, one of the new partners is Tacoma Pierce County Health Department. They are also one that has an employer base that they've developed that will assist us with some of the job placement. And as always, as I mentioned, City of Tacoma, we are an employer, and also we put out to bid civil and building contracts. When we're looking for contractors to perform work at City of Tacoma, we have a local hire program, which is the one that I manage. It's called LEAP, Local Employment and Apprenticeship Training Program. It is a local hire apprenticeship certified program where we tell contractors that 15% of the jobs have to go to local residents or apprentices. So it's mandated in our specifications, and I manage that program. So I get some of our graduates that make public works construction, especially if contractors are performing, you know, remediation work, which in Tacoma we have Via Fonts, Commencement Bay, which is a super fund, and we have, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of brownfield sites in our county. We need our trained graduates to go to work for these employers. So we have surrounded ourselves with a great team. We have some local hire provisions. We have great partnerships that are going to hire some of our graduates. We have another partner, TCB Environmental. They're a temp agency, and as a matter of fact, the hiring manager for this organization is a past Brownfields graduate. His name is Ricardo Loza. He will hire our graduates, on the spot if they meet their minimum qualifications. But with our certifications of HASLOP or OSHA 10, which they would have to pay anyway to get their workforce trained up, they are more than glad to hire our graduates. You know, albeit the starting wage is about $17 an hour, but many of our graduates get some entry-level skills training, and the companies that they go to work for initially, many of them often end up hiring them permanently, or it's a good, springboard for them to access some of these more high-paying jobs, whether it's in construction or working for some of our other consultants that are doing environmental work, like for the Port of Tacoma, which also is hiring folks. So I know that's a lot. It's a great overview. Any other topics you want me to hit here, Mike?
That is great. You know, I did notice, and you did something very wise this year. We had a difficult RFP this year because they talked about having to train in certain areas, that there was money allocated by those program offices. And I noticed all of the most of the money comes from the brownfields remediation types of programs, and all
Correct.
Of yours fit into that program. So you didn't get caught in the stormwater or,
no.
you know, very one of these small programs, so that when they reviewed these grants, everything you're teaching is in that OBLR, or the Office of Brownfields and Land Reuse. So that was a very
Correct.
Smart move. And one question I did have, though, is how your recruitment now is, you were relying very heavily, and I thought it was great, on the WIB. And most places we really encourage people because they would screen your people. They would give them services if they qualified, all those things. Did you lose all of that?
Well, to a certain extent, we lost that piece of it. But on the job development, job placement piece, especially if you are WIOA qualified, we can co-enroll you with our local WIB. We can still rely on them for having our graduates access their labor exchange program, where we have a wonderful online database that allows our graduates to enter their information and be matched with some of the employers that are looking for some of our hired hands, or if there's an employer that's looking at hiring a batch of workers, they may be interested in 25, 50 at a time. We can refer our graduates to them in terms of this hiring fair. So we haven't lost that that partnership. They're just not a contracted partner in our area. One of the things that we did do by bringing in our two new partners, Goodwill and Tacoma Pierce County Health Department, is they have sources of money that provide for enhanced case management and life skills, which for new grantees and those that are still trying to buy in, the EPA dollars does not pay for life skills training, math or other support services that they need. So you have to make a academic decision here about who you're going to partner with. And both of those agencies have robust what we call wraparound services in their existing organizations that are being leveraged with our environmental training component. So that's something that we're looking very forward to. And I have partnered with Goodwill on previous grants, and with the Tacoma Pierce County Health Department, we partnered with them on another grant that the city had, or EPA had awarded them for an assessment grant, where they actually named our Brownfields Job Training Program in their spec documents for contractors who are looking to do some assessment work, where we were a first source hire partner, where they had to call us before they were going to hire anybody else. So, you know, we've been very successful in our partnership, you know, approach. Over the years, we've received two best practice awards, one back in 2007, that's Washington State Governor's Best Practice Award for our partnerships. And then in 2009, I believe, we received a MetLife Community Technical College Award for best practice under our partnership model, which they only hand out three nationally. So I think what we're doing here seems to work for us. In your particular community, you have to assess what, you know, what your employer base is, what you know, what type of environmental contamination or remediation work needs to occur. And in our particular area, what we've done works for us.
You do something really well, I think better than any other grantee, is you've honed down the two most important things, your employer network and your services network that provides all the leveraging services and everything. And I think that's brought you a long way. It's really great. A lot of people, they pick one or two partners. And we were talking before this started about who someone might want to partner with. And I think for those of you who are thinking of applying next November, this is the time when you start doing kind of an assessment of your community and see who's really active, who's actually involved in these community programs, and actually who's got some money and influence where they can support your program. And that's exactly what you've done, Peter, sounds like. And you've adjusted, too.
And you really have to. It's a changing economy, changing environment. Tacoma and Pierce County isn't what it was in the 1990s and 2000s when we first started. I mean, back in the mid-1990s, if you ever saw a version of Cops, they showed Tacoma probably every other episode, which I'm not proud to say. But, you know, we've cleaned up our town. We've invested heavily in economic development. And that is our number one priority at the City of Tacoma right now, is economic development to attract business and workforce development. So we have the city's backing to enter into more job training, partnerships, pursue grants. We know what our environment and our community needs in terms of having an economic development strategy. We've been cleaning up our Commencement Bay, which is a Superfund site. We have Ruston, Point Ruston, which used to be an old Asarco site, if you know about Asarco, you know, which a byproduct is arsenic. We have a $1 billion-plus construction project that is about half completed on a Superfund, and they've hired a lot of our graduates because of that Haswapper cert that we provided them. And now we are moving on to a lot of more brownfield sites within the city or Pierce County, you know, old abandoned, you know, gas stations, and underground storage tanks or wrecking yard, dry cleaner, whatever it is, you know, we provide a good service to anyone that's looking at developing a property that's been abandoned, and you know, we want it to be available for reuse. I mean, that's what we're all about here is get our property back and reuse and repurpose. And why not have the residents that live in the community perform, you know, with, you know, the phase one or phase two assessment, construction, remediation, and then, you know, maybe go to work for that company in a longer-term relationship that did the remediation that is going out to the next job site. So you've had to evolve Right now, anybody that's in workforce development or has any knowledge about apprenticeship, and I think I failed to mention apprenticeship, is really being looked at to train our future workforce in all sectors that are out there, not just construction or environmental, manufacturing, healthcare, trades and logistics. That sector is really utilizing the apprenticeship model. We have a very strong apprenticeship system here in Washington State. We've received, at least at the state level, these American Apprenticeship Initiative grants that the Obama administration put out, and there's more coming. And my understanding that the apprenticeship system, which has been underfunded historically, is going to get an additional boost of money for workforce development. And so I would definitely look into apprenticeship. It is not in every state. Some states are stronger than others. Ours is a very strong apprenticeship community, and we utilize that system because it's an earn-while-you-learn system. You start as an entry-level first-bracket apprentice, and after 3 to 6 years, depending on which apprenticeship occupation you go in, like the electrical or sheet metal, you can be making in excess of $40 an hour plus benefits. So, it's whatever your community has to offer, and workforce development is very exciting right now, and apprenticeship, and when you couple the environmental, green jobs piece to that, sustainability, it makes for a perfect program that I think our policymakers and community members really want to get around. And we'll continue to do that here in Pierce County, Tacoma, Washington.
Awesome. Anyone want to ask Peter any questions while we got him on the line?
Peter, I'm just curious about your population. You service basically the Tacoma urban area, or do you get people from outside Tacoma?
Well, we mainly target Tacoma, which is about 200,000 population, but we can serve the Pierce County area, which contains Joint Base Lewis-McChord. So we have a huge military presence. And that's another thing I failed to mention here. A lot of our graduates, which EPA does promote, and students, they're transitioning military personnel. We have a great veteran population that we tap into. So our Pierce County population is about 850,000, but we predominantly recruit from Tacoma and certain zip codes that EPA has told us we need, because of the diverse funds that we get, we tried to target Tacoma proper, but then, we branch out to Pierce County and take advantage of that veteran population. And it's mainly urban, a little rural, but mainly urban.
And your hiring ordinance, is that basically work being done in the city of Tacoma?
Well, actually, it is city of Tacoma and anywhere in adjacent counties where work is being performed. We also own a public utility. So we own our own power, water, rail, and communications program. So we have dams, well, the Northwest, right? We have a lot of rain. We have a lot of dams that we manage. And a lot of the dams, to maintain their permits with FERC and others, requires that we do renewable energy. We do projects, for our salmon, fish collection hatcheries. So we invest millions of dollars in these dams, and the local ordinance applies to all of those projects. So if you can imagine the reach of this ordinance, it's just not Tacoma. It's anywhere where we have a dam in Washington State that is owned by a public utility department, which is pretty much about a third of our state.
Wow, that's nice. Okay.
Yeah, pretty broad.
Thank you, Peter.
Anybody else? Well, you certainly have an interest.
Surprised.
Go ahead.
I'll continue to take questions, but I just in some closing comments here for those that are new or those that are had been rejected and looking at going to the well again. you know, continue persevering, refining your proposal. We submitted a proposal last year, and we missed it by 2 points. And you know, we have a great proposal, but as great as our proposal was, don't ever think that, you know, you have a guarantee in. We went back. We got some new partners. We tightened up the proposal, and, you know, we got funded this year. And keep in contact, as Mike said, with your local employer base. See what it is that they're looking for in terms of skilled workers. What certificate are they looking for? Like I mentioned here in Washington State, the asbestos cert, the lead are great, you know, on top of or coupled with the OSHA and the HAZWOP. We have one employer that our last graduation, and forgot to mention that, we always have an employer forum graduation ceremony where we invite our employers to talk to our graduates about any prospective jobs, what are they looking for in terms of model employee, what skill sets. And normally we have about 3 or 4. We had about 8 because they're all looking at our graduates to hire. But we had a new employer that said, you know, right now we offer UST, it's more of an awareness cert, but he said if you take it one step further where you help them get a certificate, help them pass the state exam, we will hire them on the spot. So you always have to be out there trying to see who your employer base is, trying to see what additional certs might be added to your program that will make it more marketable, where you get more employers coming to you to tell you, you know, I want your graduates, but if you add this additional cert, it's going to make it even sweeter. And always keep a pulse on your community, see what their needs are, and you know, it'll make for a great partnership for years to come. The years that we weren't funded, I mean, we still were doing some sort of job training or outreach, because you just can't, you know, pack up and go away. You have to continue to be a presence in your community, especially if you're going to, you know, participate in the next round of funding. So keep vigilant, keep persistent, keep, you know, informed in terms of what's happening in your community, and obviously, you know, keep informed of what's happening in Washington, D.C. with EPA. They're a great partner, and we've enjoyed working with them over the years. And also I'll put in a plug to Mike and Glow and his staff with HMTRI. They've been a great partner for us in terms of the early years where we really didn't know what we were doing. But I think we've grown to be a great veteran that has a lot to offer. So.
Well, we appreciate this is a great presentation. And those of you who want to talk to Peter in person can come to the annual grantee meeting. For those of you, it'll be in the notes and we'll talk about it more. But if you could get to Alexandria next August, everything else is basically free and you could sit down with Peter on his successes and what he's been doing. Otherwise, is it okay, Peter, if anyone has a question, they could email you and get in touch with you on a one-on-one basis? Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. Feel
great.
Give my information.
Okay, we'll put that in the notes. Well, thank you, and Peter, you're awesome, as usual. And thank you. We'll see you in a couple of weeks, same time, same place.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, take care.
Okay.
Thanks,
bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm gonna take in my computer. I'm just bringing my computer to see if I can find the document.
Oh, okay. So I want to talk to you about Linda. Because this is really crazy. You know Warren Evans, right?
Who?
Warren Evans, the old police chief.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know Blair Evans? Blair Evans is his horrible brother.
Oh.
And his cool piece of shit.
Okay.
So Melinda.
What do you do? Do you have a thing that's going to happen?
Yeah, you know, and he says that. I don't even know what he's going to do, but everything is ever going to be like, you know that.
Thank you.
I set it up when I was teaching in the prison, so
tag and see your time running, go in and sell. I ain't got to worry about that.
No, I have to say I'm always so amazed that, you know, there's
so many you can do that.
Yeah, you know, especially the stuff that's a little so what about you?
Well, you know, this is what all my people that my father say, you know, when they got out there on them, like, no, I'm gonna need somebody to get up there from the 96.
96. you have an income and you don't want to leave that, I would not encourage you to leave that, you know. But if you feel like doing this, if you can make it work, for those, especially for those 5 weeks while you're in class, unless you're able to save up a little bit of money from the job you're doing or anything like that, it's really a flat program. It's just that, you know, it's an educational thing. So it's also to encourage that you can put on your resume at this time. So with those certifications, you know, you can go out and get that for anywhere from $15 or plus. Table. We make stuff like that. I mean, it's just really
So, you know, we've got the cohort starting No, that's good. What time is she coming?
3 o'clock on Friday.
Okay.
Okay. I will try to call through the others tonight.
Okay.
I didn't have a chance to start on the brochure, but I'm going to try.
Yeah.
I know it's not me because this is a very high failure rate.
was wondering, I was having trouble downloading on the internet. I don't know whether it wasn't loading properly. I was just wondering the schedule for the city council meetings. I was wondering if there was a full council meeting next Tuesday. Yeah. Okay. And is the agenda for that meeting scheduled or already on the...
I'm sorry.
Sorry. I apologize. Is the agenda for that meeting already online?